There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Easy to get in touch with us as well. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. And you can use that for a call or a text. In addition, you can use the TalkBack feature to send us one of those messages. TalkBack feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right, you'll be watching this day. I know we talked about it this morning. About what was happening tomorrow coming up in Daphne and the delivering home to the family, the body being able to bury a private first class chancery who died at Chosin Reservoir in the Korean War and being brought home now. Procession is going to be beginning soon here for the Korean War veteran. They're headed to the causeway, north to the Bay Bridge, north on 165 and south on I-65 to Dauphin Street to Radney Funeral Home. So that's going on right now. If you see that, that's what's happening in that procession. We'll probably talk about that more, but if you go back, you can listen to Mobile Mornings from the 8 o'clock hour. We talk about the what's happening tomorrow in Daphne and a chance to come out and honor so many private first class chancery and others. With this. All right, coming up in about 20-something minutes here, 25 minutes, my buddy Jeff Stone from Stone Arms is going to join us. You heard the story. They just made the national news there, the discussion of what happened with that judge in Texas and saying that the feds can no longer enforce the tax stamp, right, which is going to be for a suppressor, short-barrel rifle, short-barrel shotguns, et cetera. We'll talk to Jeff about that because some of the headlines may be confusing people out there. That's what Jeff knows. That Stone Arms knows it so well. He joins us about 12:35 to talk more about that. All right, and keeping our eyes on the deal. You could hear the frustration in my voice yesterday, and I could read the frustration in your voices yesterday when you texted in what the – remember Iran has said, the president said, hey, we're negotiating with Iran. Iran said, no, we're not. We're negotiating with Oman, which may be a way to pass paper back and forth. So Iran can say, we're not negotiating with the United States. But this is, let's run through this things here. So here's the deal, as I'm hearing it now. And this is they said, well, this will open up the Strait of Hormuz. President said, we'll open up the Strait of Hormuz. But this is what I'm getting here on the deal. Is it would be, the Strait of Hormuz would be run by Iran and Oman. And they would be responsible, I think, the Iranians for inbound and the Omanis for outbound. And it says, a draft agreement that would establish new rules for commercial shipping through the Strait of Hormuz. Iranian state media, so take that with a grain of salt. Iranian state media says a deal could be announced soon if the remaining issues are resolved. One of the biggest sticking points is a proposal that would give Iran authority over ships entering the Persian Gulf. Yeah, I would say yes. Because this, I mean, Iran once again is negotiating with the Omanis. Now, are we in a back channel on that? Maybe. But this is Iranian and Omani discussion about Strait of Hormuz. We've already said that the Strait of Hormuz has to be freely navigated, right? It's international waters, has to be freely navigated. The deal, as I see this draft, the words coming out on this draft, would give Iran authority over the ships entering the Persian Gulf. And I guess as the olive branch here, they're like, well, the Omanis will be in charge of ships leaving the Persian Gulf through the strait. You know, and the president's come out and said the negotiations are working quite well. I'm left scratching my head if that's the deal we're talking about. And it would be a couple things here. Number one, they would have to radio. The way I understand this here is if you're coming inbound through the Strait of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf, you would have to radio the Iranians, tell them you're there, and basically ask for permission, right? And they would, and there's also discussion now that the Iranians would take between 5 and 7% of the value of the cargo on any given ship would be paid to the Iranians to be able to transit the Strait of Hormuz. Then it'd be 3 to 5% outgoing for the Omanis. Now, remember the Strait of Hormuz beforehand. It's been, listen, it, back in the 80s, went through this before with the, you know, providing escorts for ships going through the Strait of Hormuz. It is a leverage point Iran has. But for the longest time then, it's been freely navigated waters, right? Free, you've got between 1/5 and 1/4 of all the oil that's on the seas out there passes through the strait. Now, we talk about we don't get our oil from there, but it's a global market. And so you look at LNG, the value of a tanker full of liquefied natural gas or oil, and the Iranians are saying they're going to – oh, I did see this. The Iranians would take between 5 and 7% excise, in other words, off the value of whatever's in there. But I did see in something – I don't know where it was. Maybe the independent UK. I have so many things pulled up. They had said that – they said, well, it would be voluntary. They would charge between 5 and 7% of the value of what's on that ship. But then it would be voluntary. Okay, sure. It's going to be voluntary. They're going to have this fee, but it's going to be voluntary. The Iranians would say, well, okay, well, you don't have to pay it. And then what happens? And also the on and off switch for whether you look at what's happening, you know, with the Red Sea, with the Houthis, or what's happening with the Iranians in the Strait of Hormuz, all you have to do is have one drone hit a ship, and then everything shuts down again. I mean, that's the off switch for the Iranians. So I guess, and I don't know where that came from, but they said Iran could say it would be, you could decide whether, here's how much it's going to cost, but you don't have to pay it. You could decide not to. What shipping company is not going to do that and risk what's going to happen from the Iranians? Like yesterday, I said, you know, I feel like we have really lost this negotiation. Right, we're negotiating with the Iranians as equals, number one. Number two, what did we get for all this? What have we gotten? Now the Strait of Hormuz is going to be, if this deal would go through, and I would hope that we would push back and not let this happen, but the deal goes through as proposed, now you have a Strait of Hormuz that's not, they'll argue, oh, it's freely open because you can choose not to pay the tax. Come on. We now have a Strait of Hormuz that is being taxed coming and going. Omanis have some part of this too, but the Iranians would take it. And you would have to, mother may I, you know, hop on 16, channel 16 on the VHF and call, you know, whatever it is, call the Iranian home office there and say, hey, we're about to come in here with this, you know, this ship. And they'll say, oh, what do you have on there? How much is that worth? You know, and where's our money? Now, you don't have to pay it, but, you know, I'd hate for something to happen to your ship. This is the deal to reopen the strait? Come, I mean, don't like this? You think it's good? Let me know. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm 720 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106. Get the text and the phones here. Just one text quickly here, and then we'll go to the phones. This from Bobby says, Trump says all he wanted to do was eliminate their nuclear weapons. Which, by the way, speaking of which, you see this head of the Revolutionary Guard there at Iran. A commander said yesterday that Tehran would continue working on nuclear weapons as long as the United States and Israel possess them. I mean, honest conversation. What have we accomplished? All right, let's go to the phones. Damon up first. Hey, Damon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in. The frustrating thing about this whole thing is that this was all done because Netanyahu declared war on Iran, and we kind of followed in behind him saying, yeah, we don't want them to have nuclear weapons. And now it looks like we can't put the genie back in the bottle. And it's just...
Yeah, and how would we... You know, that's the problem. I mean, do we... It's like what Cameron Smith and I talked about. We've talked about several times. Do you leave a state there that... I mean, it's not like they learned their lesson. Not going to say, well, we won't be sponsoring terrorism anymore or working on nuclear weapons. They're still going to do that. So we leave them there like that. Or, God forbid, we ramp this up and becomes an invasion like, you know, the War Hawks want. Both of them frighten me. I don't know what you do. I don't know what the right decision is.
And that's what's frustrating. It's like when you paint yourself in a corner, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like what we want. And this is not politics, you know, right or left. All presidents have kind of done that at some point or another, painted themselves in a corner, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
So it's whether you, which side you're on or not, Democrat or Republican, you can look at history. All of them at some point or another have done something like this where they painted themselves in a corner and they're kind of like stuck.
Yeah, and I really don't, I mean, I can't believe we'll let the deal go where the Iranians, the thing they threw out today cracked me up, but it's a voluntary fee. It's a voluntary fee. 5 to 7% of the value of a ship is what would be paid to the Iranians to enter through the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, it's voluntary, and guess what? Thanks for giving us your radio coordinates, and now we know where you are.
yes. And I'm not saying there's going to be a drone hit you, but I'd hate for that to happen.
Yeah, you basically let us know where you are, and if you don't pay, guess what? Guess what's going to happen when you try to? So it's really crazy. But one of the things that might help, and I thought about this just before you picked up, is what if we said, okay, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do the same thing for the Atlantic Ocean next to the United States and the Pacific Ocean. Anybody that's traveling past mm-hmm. our country, we'll go ahead and charge a 5% tax. And use GPS coordinates to threaten any shipping traffic from any. What if everybody did that for traffic? You know,
yeah.
International waters.
You know what? You'd see war. You'd see war all over this world, all over this planet, if that happened. You know, and that's what.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know how this stands, but that's. I don't know. We said your president's saying we're working a great. You know, got this great deal going, and this is the information I'm seeing at this point. If it's this, I don't think it's great.
It's not. And so I would, if I were the president, I'd say, hey, okay, if that's what you want, then we'll do the same thing. And we'll all just, you know, we'll all make money off of international waters next to us. And let's all have fun destroying, you know, the world, you know.
Let's not do that. Damon, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let me get some text in here. Ricardo Montalban says, Damon is wrong. It all started in 79. Yeah, but it hasn't been, once again, and I don't think Damon said when it started, but... It's been that way since 79. We're not exactly friendly with Iran. But, okay, Ricardo Montalban, with your rich Corinthian leather, what would you do here? You know, I know you say in the text line a lot, just keep bombing. Okay? The bombing so far has not brought them to their knees. And now they're negotiating with the Omanis on working a deal. Working a deal for coming in and out. Yeah, David from Dolphin Island said, when the bridge is built, maybe we can copy their plan and decide whether we want to cross and pay the toll each time we cross it. Make it a voluntary toll. There you go. Do you want to pay the toll to cross the bridge or not? I thought that was something. They're saying, well, there's going to be this 5 to 7% of the value of what's on the ship. But, you know, it's voluntary. My butt, it's voluntary. Let's see. Squirrel Vereen. The president didn't just say he only wanted to eliminate Iran's nuclear weapons. Those just made action more urgent. Obviously, Iran's defiance and method of retaliation against neighbors with missiles illustrates they are way more of a threat, as we already know anyway. Jim B., Trump has one objective, not nukes, not open the strait. It's how to get loose from that tar baby. Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. Michael, Sean, it's all part of Dear Leader's seven-dimensional chess. Us simpletons just can't understand how great of a negotiator and leadership Trump's administration has provided. You know, I think that was interesting yesterday, conversation I had with Troy Carrico. And if you're dealing with business policy for this country, you know, even with what has been thrown back on the tariffs, but that kind of stuff, I think that negotiation works. I think the getting the members of NATO and Europe to pay something, you know, so we don't carry the, President Trump's been great on that. But what Troy says in his op-ed, and he talked about it with us yesterday, is you can't use that same kind of logic you would on a deal that would involve trade, money, those kind of things, with a fundamentalist group like the Iranians. Like, they don't, there's really nothing to negotiate from other than full destruction, right? They don't care. Like, you know, you're dealing with, you're trying to make a deal to buy Greenland with Denmark. You can kind of bully pulpit and, you know, put some true social stuff out and then say this at a presser and they offer this money and try to make this trade deal. I think President Trump is great at that stuff. I think sometimes it's like it's all the time with him, but that is definitely in his wheelhouse. But you try that kind of, I think Troy made a good point. You try that kind of negotiation in this situation and it's not the same. You know, what is boardroom negotiation versus what is battlefield negotiation? Jerry in Fort Morgan. Jerry. I'll just put it this. He said, I have another off switch for those, I'll say Iranians. I'll put it there. It's, once again, very frustrating to me. You know, and the president's gone on and said, you know, this is the last chance. I mean, that's the problem, too. I mean, I just want to be fair. And when Obama said, there's this red line and you don't cross the red line. And it's like, okay, well, I'll draw another red line. You cross that red line. Remember that? That was bad realpolitik. And once again, saying, okay, Iran, this is your last chance. I think it's the 13th time. That lessens the value. I'm going to pull the car over. If y'all don't stop, I'm going to pull the car over. I'm telling you, Timmy, if you don't stop, I'm pulling the car. And if you never pull the car over, then Timmy realizes he can just beat his siblings in the back seat and nothing really happens. And then obviously the rhetoric coming out of the Iranians, I don't believe it to the good or to the bad, because they're not fair arbiters here, but it is interesting. You know, this messaging coming from the top of the Revolutionary Guard says that Tehran would only quit working on nuclear weapons when the United States and Israel get rid of them. I mean, it doesn't sound like they're saying, we'll take some of this deal. It's none of that. And then to hear that the Omanis, you know, there's players in the region that are trying, and we talked about it yesterday, it's not that Gulf states love us. In fact, we buy their oil and sell them a lot of military equipment, but they're trying to figure out who's going to win this fight, right? They're going to figure out who they're going to go with. It seems like the Omanis partially here have kind of broken loose from the other Gulf states and kind of like going to work with Iran, and they're going to cut themselves in. They're going to get a little taste. They're going to wet their beak on this deal and take the way I understand this now, the deal, whatever it is now that Iran and Oman have figured out, is Iran gets the money for the ships coming in through the strait. Oman gets it for the ships going out through the strait. All right. Talked about this morning, a federal judge in Texas ruling that the federal government can no longer enforce key registration requirements for firearms like equipment like suppressors, SBRs, and short-barreled shotguns. But what does it really mean? We'll talk to Jeff Stone coming up about that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, remember, check out facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Pinned up to the top there. Get, enter your patriotic picture to win in the America's 250 Summer Showcase. Even more details on that just a little bit. You can also get the details on our website, fmtalk1065.com. All right, good to get this man on the phone. I imagine, well, he's kind of always busy, but I'm sure a lot of people asking him these questions, so we're glad he gave us some time. It's our buddy Jeff Stone from Stone Arms. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, we had the story this morning on Mobile Mornings about the federal judge in Texas and that ruling about, you know, tax stamp, I don't know what term we're going to use anymore, but that that requirement, you know, to be able to have a suppressor or SBR or short barrel shotgun, any of those. What do we need to know? I mean, you do this every day. This is your world. This is your expertise. What is that ruling? What, when you saw that, what does that mean? What does that mean to any of us?
Well, right now, it's a major win for gunners of America, and its plaintiffs, where it's hard to explain. Right now, basically, a federal judge in Texas ruled that it's unconstitutional for the ATF to require the current paperwork to buy silencers and other items. Basically, what the NFA division of the ATF restricts and makes it, you know, a little bit harder to buy. Even though they did away with the tax stamp, still, people are still going after the whole fact that we shouldn't have to do any NFA, any additional paperwork to buy silencers. Some argue that there shouldn't be any paperwork at all because it's not a firearm by definition. So right now, all that happened was, again, this federal judge in Texas said, hey, it's unconstitutional. However, they granted a seven-day hold, basically, to give the ATF enough time to appeal it. It's unknown at this time whether or not the ATF or the NFA or both are going to appeal it. And if they do or don't, right now it's up in the air on whether or not it still has to go to the Supreme Court. It's my understanding, and I could be wrong, that even if it doesn't get appealed, it still has to go to the Supreme Court for a final ruling.
Yeah, and this idea about, and if people don't follow this, hadn't followed it, the big, beautiful bill, people were talking beforehand, you remember that, Jeff, that, oh, it's going to remove the requirement. And the nature of the bill, they could do budgeting things, they couldn't change law.
Correct. And all so, they did was remove the $200 tax stamp.
Yeah,
which brings up another topic.
Yes.
This could backfire. And the ATF could turn around and say, well, you know what? Instead of doing, you know, away with the tax stamp fee, which we did, now we're just going to reinstate it. But now we're going to meet what $200 was back in the 1937, which, you know, a equivalent now would be almost $5,000 for a tax stamp. They could do that.
Is that what it would be in today's dollars? Is it really?
Correct.
Wow.
Just under $5,000.
Well, I'm happy I paid $200 then.
Sure. Yeah. And now it's zero, but they can always change their mind, Sean. And that's what I don't think people realize about this. Or you know, let's just say right now, silencers, suppressors, whatever you want to call them, are constitutionally protected. If they decide, well, you know what, we're just going to make this an accessory, like a magazine, it's no longer protected, then they can ban it. So this could backfire in numerous different ways. You know, and of course there's people out there, oh, they can't do that, they can't do this. ATF, you don't know what they're going to do. But right now, this looks like a major score for the Second Amendment. It looks like, and it's just speculation right now, this just happened yesterday, but it looks like if everything works out that, and again, this is my interpretation. I want to put that out there.
Okay.
That it could, and the silencers could end up being, purchased just like a firearm, where you do the background, the 4473 form, and there's no weight. It could. And again, I want to stress that. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. But throughout the industry, I've been talking to people from all over the country this morning about it, reading different articles. That's the general consensus or rather opinion on how this could unfold.
Yeah, Jeff, is it trying to kind of work through this on the morning show today, the idea that once you took the fee away, right, then because it says, you know, Congress has it could do this, but once it was removed, they don't have what it says, would be no longer justified under Congress's taxing power. So was the removal of the $200, then it's like a law without a, you know, a fee or a fine. I mean, I look at that like it's happened in Alabama. They pass laws, but there's no thing that happens if you break the law. And Alabama Supreme Court's overturned that and said, listen, you can't have a law that doesn't have a thing that goes with it. That's just saying.
It has to have a tax to be regulated.
Yes.
And that's why they fought so hard to do away with the tax, because they knew if they did, then they would say, oh, well, you can no longer regulate this item. So it's all, you know, part of the puzzle. This was all planned. And they would hope to get this win, which they did. And when I say they, I say Gun Owners of America and other fellow plaintiffs, which you had several states being involved. You had several businesses, Palmetto State Armory, B&T, the list goes on in several states, which, oddly enough, Alabama was not part of this lawsuit.
I noticed that, too. And I made a joke this morning that maybe Steve Marshall was too busy at that point running for Senate. But it's weird that we're not, you know, he likes to be on these things and a lot of states around us on it, but not us.
Yeah, it is odd that we weren't bunched up in there. I'm very surprised. And I just learned that myself. You know, cause this is a fluid thing. It's hard to keep up with. A lot of moving working parts. But right now, what people need to realize is a lot of the articles, videos, everything you see on social media, a lot of it is just not true. You know, especially the headline. You no longer need a tax stamp. You can just buy it. You can order it. And it'll mail it to your house. That's not true. That's not in effect yet at all. And it may not go into effect, or it may go into effect. But right now, officially, nothing has changed, especially when you have a 7-day stay on this ruling. And that's all it is a ruling right now. No laws have passed. Nothing has officially changed.
We'll
just have to wait and see what happens.
I mean, are you getting anything through your channels, whether they are going to appeal this or not, that the federal government is going to let this sit, or do you think an appeal is coming?
Right now, it's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There are, from what I've heard this morning, it's split down the middle. Some people are saying that they knew this was going to happen. They knew that the ruling was going to come out, and they're prepared for it. They're not going to appeal, and then you hear the complete opposite. I personally think they're going to appeal it because there needs to be further definition. There needs to be clarification. It all has to be put into place. There has to be, you know, logistically a way to set this up. It's, you know, I'm not trying to get off the scope of the topic that we're talking about, Sean, but, you know, just like how they're trying to, the proposal about non-over-the-counter sales. That's a mess in itself, and logistically, nobody knows how that's going to work, even if that passes. Same thing with here. That all has to be put on paper. It has to be planned out logistically and everything, and there's a lot of moving working parts. But right now, people just need to realize nothing's changed. Right now, whether you like it or not, you have to do paperwork, which we do for you at Stone Arms.
Yep.
It's very simple, and most people get their silencer approved and in their hands in, we like to tell people 2 weeks. Sometimes it's a little longer, but most of the time it's not even 2 weeks.
Yeah, and talk about the business of this for a second. So as a guy that, you know, I went with your program, with y'all helping me, when it was still $200, did the process, like I tell everybody, how quick it went. And then I got green-lighted, I think, within a week on mine. But then when the $200 was removed beginning this year, did you see a jump in purchase for silencers, suppressors, cans? Okay.
We did, and we're still in that jump. A lot of people buying silencers right now. A lot of people took advantage of not paying the tax stamp fee anymore. And at the same time, I don't think I even told you about this, Sean, at the same time, we actually got our own system where before we still have the kiosk, but now we have our own kiosk. So we're basically cutting out a middleman. We're taking out several steps, which adds time. Now we, in the store directly, electronically, file everything basically for you. Before you leave the store, everything's filed, where before there was a day or two where we have to wait for who owns our original kiosk to file it and sign off on this and sign off on that. So our new system has literally taken days, for 2, 3, 4, or 5 days out of the equation.
What do you think it would mean? And once again, y'all, this is speculation because Jeff's on here saying none of this is, this was just a ruling out of Texas. But if you didn't have the tax stamp, if you didn't have that approval process, what would you project it would be for buying for suppressors?
My prediction, again, is that it's going to be that you're going to be able to purchase a silencer just like a firearm. And I know there's people jumping up and down about that, but this is just my opinion because it's essentially not a firearm. But it is an item that...
This is where this is where we get in the gray. It's like the firearm things, but these are things we put on, and I can argue it both ways, but these are things we add to a firearm. It actually doesn't change the performance. Well, we could argue that too, staying on target, but it's not like should we have, to have hearing protection that we wear at the range? It's doing the same thing. So it's not even like we're changing the efficacy of it.
One way to look at it, Sean, is, and realistically, is it a big deal to walk into a gun store and fill out some paperwork and maybe have to wait a day or two? Maybe you don't have to wait at all. Maybe you get the same day to buy a silencer. Or on the flip side, do you want somebody walking into Walmart and buying a silencer off the counter? That's something that people really need to sit back and look at the entirety of that situation. For law-abiding citizens, sure, they should be able to walk into Walmart or any store and buy a silencer without a background check. But there's a lot of people out there that shouldn't have access to that. And it's a different subject in itself.
It also encompasses, as we talk about this, so much of what we focus on is silencers here, but short-barreled shotguns, SBRs. Like the SBR thing is, from time to time, just confuses me. It's like it's two of the same performance rifles, but if one's got a pistol handle, one doesn't, or it folds or something, it changes. I'm like, well, that's not – the round doesn't know what it's coming out of.
Sure, it doesn't change that, but that is confusing, and it's confusing to us at times. We'll get a gun in, and we're like, is this a pistol or a rifle? And it depends on whether or not it has a brace or a stock, and sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between a brace and a stock.
That seems so silly to me,
It is.
Like, the net effect of the round doesn't change, so we're talking about just visual things with the firearm. It's long since confused me. All right. People want to get unconfused and also get an education on all this. They can come by and see you. I'm always telling folks how to come by and see you. How would you say it, Jeff? How do people find you?
Just come by the shop. Anybody that works here can help you probably better than I can. All we ask that you do and we help you with this is get on your phone, get an eForms account, which again, if you're having trouble with that, we'll walk you through it. And then we take your picture, we do your fingerprints, we enter in all the information, and that's it. And what's really nice is, let's say you want to buy another silencer later on, you're already in our system. You don't have to do the photograph and the picture and the eForms account and all that. You already did it.
Yep.
And it makes it a lot easier for additional purchases down the road. But if you're, a lot of people are not sure what to buy. We deal with those questions every day. We'll help you pick out the right one for whatever firearm or firearms you're trying to put it on.
It's good stuff, Jeff. Thank you for the education on this. I imagine we'll be talking about it again in the future.
Yes, sir. Good talking to you, Sean.
Hey, likewise. There goes Jeff Stone from Stone Arms, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:53 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Trying to get through some text here, get caught up. So I have to go back in time a little bit. Thomas says, "Get rid of this." Back to the discussion of the Iranians. Get rid of their military completely, then they will fold. Don't stop till the military no more. It's Thomas in Irvington. Bill says Trump is used to having leverage over painters and carpet installers. He's in over his head dealing with world leaders. Squirrel Vereen said liberals went from quote, all we're saying is give peace a chance, end quote, to Trump always chickens out. Tim says this is the thing about Trump. He works so many different angles, we're not even really sure what his objectives are. Unnamed texture here said, honestly, Sean, most Trump voters like me are sick of him. This Iran war, sending money to Ukraine, no action on the Epstein list, no action on the deep state, and all of this to protect Netanyahu. The majority of Americans are sick of AIPAC and our tax dollars going to Israel. It's not just the DSA, it's Republican voters as well. Michael, he said, have you seen the stories where Israelis are setting up new settlements with IDF protection in Lebanon and Syria? It's almost like all of this has always been about expanding Israel's borders. Local rapper, I'm with you, said the only great deal maker is Michael Corleone. Yes, the Godfather. And not Fredo, right? Just Michael. I mean, Fredo, it's why Fredo had to go out in the boat, right? Because he couldn't make the deals like Michael. B-Dark says, Sean, the War Department is making the country look weak with another politically correct war. You have to finish the job. Gulf Coast Girl, oh gosh, this stinks. So remember, was it last week, the week before, that I got the scam call, and we got lucky enough with Dalton grabbing his phone and recording it. I put it on speaker. Yeah, I think y'all heard that. If not, I could play it again, or I think it's up in podcast form, where I had fun with the scammer. Who called me and said, oh, I missed a court date, and you know, and I just absolutely just toyed with them. But it's gotten a lot, this one recently has gotten a lot of people. And then Gulf Coast Girl texts in and said, Sean, our 30-something-year-old daughter just received one of the scam calls you were discussing earlier. I think from Baldwin County Sheriff's Office saying she'd missed a court appearance and owed money and couldn't hang up the phone. That's exactly that not hanging up the phone thing. That's absolutely their MO. She's a very sharp business owner, but they were so convincing they had her second guessing. They even said she could take the $6,600 to the sheriff's office. This is infuriating. Yeah, and listen, they're going to do that. You've got to be, if you go back and listen to that call, Gulf Coast Girl with me, you've just got to be as, I hate it, but you have to be as cynical as I am. You have to know how they're going to work the hustle. If they go, you could even take it to the sheriff's office. They're doing that. You know, they're con men, so confidence men. They're telling you that because somebody go, well, they wouldn't just tell me to take it to the sheriff's office. What they're going to do is tell you that. But later in the conversation, they're going to steer you another way. But at that point, they'll be like, absolutely. Like, if you heard the call of mine, he said, I can put you on with, you know, my captain or something. And then I said, well, you know, but what about Lori? Oh, yeah, I know Lori. Who's that? Oh, that's my captain. No, it's not. But I have a advantage that I know the people that work at the sheriff's department. And I know that that's not everybody out there, but they're going to tell you things like, sure, I'm with it. Here's my, they'll give you a badge number. What does that mean? I can make up, you know, what was the, OU812 Van Halen. All that stuff. And people I've talked to that have had this done on, they're like, well, they gave me a badge number. Who cares? I can make up a string of numbers. I mean, and like you said, oh yeah, take it to the sheriff's office. Cause they're going to do that to keep you on. But if you walk that through, at some point in the future, they go, oh, you know, there's something, you know, we had to lock down the sheriff's office. Tell you what, we'll have somebody meet you. Tell you what, can you just wire it? I'm telling you how it goes. They're going to tell you in the beginning, oh, yeah, you can take it to the sheriff's department. But give it 5, 10, 15 minutes. It'll change. Thank you, CB Carl said, I wanted to mention today is the 81st anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. I know we talked about that last year with you, CB Carl. So to have a special connection with this occasion, having been to Tinian and also having been a good friend of a Marine combat veteran of Guadalcanal, New Britain, and Peleliu, who was training for the invasion of Japan, he said it was one of the best days of his life, I bet, knowing what they would have faced on mainland Japan. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know that. Don said, quick question for Jeff, and maybe you just ring him up at the shop. He said, a lot of gun owners have a license to build an AR platform rifle for their customers. Will this mean that they could also manufacture their own suppressors? This is a question for Jeff. I do not have the answer to that. I do not know. I know this. Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. He joins us coming up next.